Greetings to all of you. This beautiful Saturday morning. Greetings in Christ's name. You know, I really think that we really could, just kind of wrap it up and go home and think about what we heard this morning. And it would still be a profitable morning. I think there's some really good challenges that we heard this morning in relation to dying, to life, spiritual life following death. I believe that is key. And I noticed that, I couldn't see everyone, but I noticed that when he asked, well, who can relate to that, the struggle of like, oh, really, when is this going to stop, or is it worth it? I think a lot of our hands went up. We've struggle with that at times. And it reminded me of the account of Joseph. Joseph was a Romanian pastor back into the when the communists were in control in Romania, and he was in captivity. He was under house arrest, and their goal was to break Joseph. And so he was allowed to live at home. But every day they would call him in to their headquarters, and they would interrogate him, and they would play with him, play with his mind. They wanted to break Joseph, to where Joseph finally said, it's just not worth it. He never knew whether he was going to die or whether he would be released to go home that night to see his family. He had no idea what was going to come. But Joseph's testimony was that at the end of every day, when they would release him, say, all right, Joseph, you can go home, but be back in the morning, he would step out, and with this big gray headquarters behind him, he would look up to God, and he would say, God, are you happy with me? And he said, God would whisper, son, you've had another victory. And Joseph's testimony was that he went home the happiest man on the planet. And you could say, how could he be happy? Well, it was because he had a connection with his father. He had identified with his Lord. And when he experienced the joy of his Heavenly Father being happy with him, then it put the cost in proper perspective. I believe that's so true for you and I. And we visited a little bit afterward, a couple of us, and that was a little bit of our discussion. When you and I are tempted to feel like, oh, this is way too much. This cost is way too high. Aren't we failing to see the wonder and the price of our redemption? What did Christ pay for you, for me? We see that if we allow God to put that in proper perspective, it will change how we view the cost that it costs for you and I. This morning, we are looking at maintaining respect in personal relationships. I was reminded again of the importance of communication. I love Brother TJ, but somewhere we didn't communicate clearly. Because I knew that the board had some of these thoughts in mind, but I thought I was to just incorporate it into some of my topics. And when I got up here Wednesday night and I looked at an updated topic, there I was, my name was behind this one. And I called TJ the next morning to find out what is going on. I guess I didn't communicate clearly, I didn't understand. I would like to share with you what the Lord has shared with me. I really did not think that I'm going to take the full time. So maybe I'll warn you up front. At the end, if I have a little time, I may open it up and give you an opportunity maybe to ask for prayer if there's a particular area that you see you have need in, or of a testimony of an area that you feel God has really helped you through. I'm going to give you an opportunity. It'd be my encouragement to Don't fear those around you. I like to hear from you. The goal for this session this morning, for this topic, is to emphasize the blessing and the freedom of relating to each other in the context of purity. Just the beautiful freedom and the blessings that God has in store for us when our personal relationships are characterized by purity. We would also like to be challenged this morning to cultivate, that you together would cultivate a mutual respect between the young men and the young ladies. That there would be a healthy respect between the sisters and the brothers. And also, just this morning also, we would like to lift up just the joy of pure relationships. If you have experienced otherwise, then you know. That will ring a bell when you think about the joy of pure relationships, because the opposite is also so true. There is so much sadness and so much regret if we fall into the other category of impure and inappropriate relationships. You could ask this morning, okay, but why the subject? I mean, is it really important? And I believe this morning it's important that we understand that we live in a culture that is morally bankrupt. And this is not... I want to give you one statistic to help make my point. America is a sexualized culture that worships at the altar of sexual idolatry. Let me illustrate. In 2014, the revenue of the porn industry, which is largely based in the United States, but not exclusively, was larger than the revenues of Microsoft, Google, Amazon, eBay, Yahoo, Apple, Netflix, and Earthlink combined. Now, if you have any idea of the magnitude of all those organizations, that's hard to grasp. But the porn industry was larger. The revenue was larger than all those companies put together. A sad statistic indeed. But that has resulted in 2019, the biblical standard, many times in our culture in America, the biblical standard of moral purity is viewed as antiquated, outdated. I mean, that was something for grandma. And the question this morning is, how do you view it? Do you treasure what God treasures? Do I treasure what God treasures? As we think of maintaining respect in personal relationships and just the beauty and the joy of purity. And so I would like if together we could notice a biblical platform, just two Bible verses that we like to look at together. And then we would like to look at some practicals. Open your Bible this morning to Romans chapter 8. I'd like to read just verses 1 and 2 and verse 5. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And in verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. This morning I believe just a simple and yet a foundational truth that Scripture is reminding us that we must be in Christ to experience the blessing and the freedom of healthy, pure relationships. And we were challenged with that just earlier this morning. But let's just think about that. Are we in Christ? Healthy, pure relationships are a result of you and I being in Christ. And I believe that's important because it's important that we understand this morning that purity is not a standalone issue. It flows out of you and I being in Christ. And I am just really challenged, moving on in verse 2, with that a simple and yet profound principle. God declares that it's His desire that the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, would free us from the law of sin and death. I don't know what that verse means to you as you read that. But the best illustration that I have ever come across to illustrate that verse is found in the simple concept of gravity. We're all acquainted with gravity. It's one of the reasons you're sitting on a bench, because if you just tried to sit in the aisle, it wouldn't work well, because gravity would just take you to the floor. They get to experience life from a different perspective in space where there is no gravity and things are floating around. But I like the simple illustration. The law of gravity is always in effect unless a force greater than gravity overcomes. And so the only reason this book is able to be held at this position is because a force greater than gravity has taken over gravity. But when that force is released, the book always will go down. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, through Christ, is able to overcome the law of sin and death. It's an integral part of the platform if you and I are going to experience healthy, pure relationships. You and I must know something about that personally. Where the law of life in Christ is holding us above and delivering us from the law of sin and death. It is a secret this morning for you and I to experience God control, not merely self-control. Friends, there's a big difference. You will run out of energy if you're trying to maintain pure and healthy relationships merely through self-control. There must be a God control, a force greater than your carnal flesh that is holding you up. How clear that is in your experience and mine, I believe many times, is revealed in verse 5. That's why I read verse 5. It says, "They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." And that word mind simply means to strive, to seek or strive for, to interest oneself in. So that verse is saying, they that are after the flesh, the law of the sin and death that it talked about in verse 2, if we're after that, if that's what's firing us, then we will interest ourselves in that kind of stuff. That is what will take priority in our heart. But it says, they that are after the Spirit, they will mind, they will be interested in the things of the Spirit. What is foremost in your heart and mine? It's an important question. Moving on, I'd like to get to, if you could turn your Bible to 2 Timothy 2 for another scripture. Second Timothy chapter 2. Notice with me verse 22. I'll read verse 21 and 22. If a man therefore purge himself from these, He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That sounds like that would include healthy, pure relationships. Flee also. So here's one of the requirements. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Friends, this morning, I believe it's important we understand that God, under the inspiration of the Spirit, Paul, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, is instructing you and I to flee youthful lusts. It's real clear. It's pretty simple. And that simply means we're called to run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Run from it. And I don't know what your experience is like. I don't know what you personally have experienced, but it could be that you may be here this morning and say, I'm so tired though. It feels like all I get done is running. And I believe that Scripture would be challenging us with the simple question is, have we stopped short of pursuing righteousness? You see, the verse says, yes, we're to flee youthful lust, but it also says we're to pursue righteousness, faith, charity. And so this morning, are you personally pursuing God? It's out of that context that you will be able to experience healthy, pure relationships. I believe this morning that both the word flee and pursue here in verse 22, fleeing lust and pursuing God, it implies urgency. It implies intentional choices. It also implies purposeful movement, moving forward in a clear direction. Oh, that we this morning would allow God to rid us of that heart that longs for life to be, oh, I don't know, more of a playground than a battlefield. We face that challenge in our day, don't we? Sometimes we just want life to be a playground. But as I read this verse, it sounds like life's more of a battlefield, isn't it? We're to flee youthful lust and pursue Christ and righteousness. And so with that, those two simple verses, I'd like to move on and together with you think of just some practical outworking. How should this be fleshed out? I believe an important foundational ingredient also is, number one, is to cultivate a healthy fear and a reverence for God. Sometime, read the account of Joseph down there in Egypt, far from home, and Potiphar's wife in Genesis 39, pursuing Joseph. And I'm just so challenged with Joseph. The reason Joseph did not sin, the reason he insisted on cultivating healthy, pure relationships was his view of God. His response to Potiphar's wife was, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So foundational for you and I. I believe this morning that if you describe to me how you view the opposite sex, I can describe to you your view of God and His holiness. It's inseparable. You tell me how you view the other side of the house, and I can tell you a lot about how you view God and how clearly you understand His holiness. It's true for all of us. And so I'm blessed how Joseph was so freed. He experienced so much freedom in his life from this temptation because of his reverence for God. And I believe an important question for you and I this morning is, well, how real is that freedom in my life? How real is it in yours? I believe this freedom that God longs for us to have, the freedom that rescued Joseph, it must free us from very practical areas. I like to give just to a couple of these. What about when you have a group of young men? What about that joke that is shared that's just on the edge? You know, it's just a little smutty. Are we experiencing freedom? Or what about, maybe it's just in the context of a mixed group. Do you find it just real natural to come across those suggestive comments that maybe have double meanings? It could be taken one way or it could be taken the other. Is the freedom that Joseph experienced, is that a living reality in our hearts? Do we have a view of God and His holiness? I believe it's an important question. See that slippery slope that Joseph found himself on with Potiphar's wife, with dad and mom far away. He was rescued from that slope because of his reverence and love for God. It'll be the same for you and I. The second one I'd like to just camp on for just a little bit. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 2, you and I are encouraged to relate to the younger women as sisters in the Lord. It would be good. How many of us on this side view these as sisters in the Lord? Now, how many here on this side view these young men as brothers in the Lord? And I believe there's an important principle this morning, is that true freedom is found in viewing each other as brothers and sisters in Christ rather than as something to acquire. Like for this side, to prove your manhood. Well, I can get a young girl's attention, then I'm a man. Or from this side, maybe this side would struggle more with, I need to acquire a boyfriend because it somehow proves my value. I want to be someone desirable. So if I can get a young man's attention, it's the ultimate. If we're going to experience healthy, pure relationships with our peers, then we will have to view, we will need God to help us to view each other as brother and sister. I recognize that the time may come where God will lead you in a relationship with a young lady or with a young man. But God can only do that if you are first enjoying a healthy and a pure relationship. If you want God to lead you, then I would encourage you to seek after Him in this way. I also notice in 1 Peter 3:4 that God, in that verse, God declares that He highly values a meek and a quiet spirit. God says they're of a great price. You know, I grew up in the mechanic world, and you know, when I see a Snap-on truck, it just means something to me. It's nothing eternal, but there I know there's quality there that you can go to Harbor Freight all day long and not find. And so when I drive by a Harbor Freight tool store, it registers differently than when I drive by a Snap-on truck. It just does. I know where value is in the tool world. Well, here God says in 1 Peter 3, He says, a meek and a quiet spirit in a woman, it's of great price. young man this morning, do you value what God values? Or do you view that kind of like I view Harbor Freight? Oh, my word. You know, I got Harbor Freight 201 time because I thought a crescent, an adjustable wrench is just an adjustable wrench. Why was I wrong? I mean, that thing was worthless. I think the freight to send it to me was higher than what the value of the tool. It was junk. Do we feel the same way about what God values? I believe that's an important question. It's so important that we allow God to set our standard of what we value if we're going to experience healthy and pure relationships. Young ladies, let me finish on the young men. You may be thinking, oh, I thought we were done. But I'd like you to think about, I'd like to just challenge you. As a young man, do you favor the fast? You know, kind of the high-flying young girls. You know, maybe the bold ones. Are they the ones that get your attention? And if that's true, do you understand the message that we're sending to this side of the house? We're telling them, we don't really value what God values, and so why don't you step it up and why don't you be what we would really like? We like the fast, the bold, the foxy ones. Are you leading? I believe it's a call for you and I as men to lead out and to promote a value system that is in step with what God values. To you young ladies, to you sisters, do you value what God values? A meek and a quiet spirit. I believe this morning it's important that you understand that if you refuse to treasure what God treasures, then you can be a great hindrance. Would be another word. You could be a great distraction to these young men in their spiritual lives. God declares that He highly values a meek and a quiet spirit. Moving on, Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And the word keep is an interesting word. It means to guard. And so God is saying to you, dear young people, guard your heart. Because out of your heart are the issues. It's like the source for life. It's where life springs from. And so it would be correct to conclude, according to the scripture, that your heart and my heart, it's kind of the internal driving force for everything I do. And so God says, guard your heart. Because it's the driving force behind what you pursue. And so I would like to give, in the context of our topic, I would like to give a few practical ways that I believe God's calling us to guard our heart for us to experience healthy, joyful, pure relationships. Guard your heart this morning by being careful not to share unnecessary personal or intimate details with the opposite sex. I believe it's very important. Guard your heart. Don't share unnecessary or personal details to the opposite sex. This morning also, I believe God would call us to guard our hearts by focusing on becoming best friends, first of all, with your family members. And you say, oh, brother, I live with them every day. Well, if God's going to lead you to marriage, you'll live with your partner every day also. And so, a question to you. How is your relationship with your dad and your mom? Guard your heart. You know, it's easy to look at relationships abroad and think, they're so enjoyable. But be falling down in your relationship at home. Young ladies, beware of a young man who has a broken relationship with his dad. It'll be a matter of time till, if you marry him, your relationship will most likely be broken also. Guard your heart by focusing on your family members becoming your best friends. Work on relationships at home. Another question is, how connected are you with your peers on a spiritual level? Or is spiritual conversations kind of reserved for church and maybe, you know, family devotions, but with my peers, it's other things. How connected are we with our peers on a spiritual level? I believe also it's important that we guard our hearts by understanding that heart-level relationships are impossible merely through the electronic world. I know our brother touched on that a little bit earlier this morning. Remember, friends, God is far more concerned about your heart condition than He is about how many friends you have on Facebook or whatever social media you're involved with. God is far more concerned about your heart condition. And I think that's so important that we understand that. Someone said that being popular on Facebook is a lot like being rich in Monopoly. You know, when the game's over, you're the same spot. And I would like to just challenge you young people. I'd like you to seriously consider this question. And you need to answer it right now. If you have a thought on it at the end, I'd be fine with that. But has social media changed you and your value system more in the last 2 years than God's eternal truth? I think that's an important question. Has social media changed you and your value system more in the last 2 years than Scripture? We had an alcoholic down there in Squaw Valley, a recovering alcoholic, that he had a sticker on the back of his pickup that said, "If nothing changes, nothing changes." And you know, when you first read that, you think, well, duh. How ridiculous. But spiritually, it's so true, isn't it? If we're not willing to look at that, at a question like we just looked at, and honestly say, God, this must change. Because I see my network changing me far more than Scripture. So I believe God would like to leave that challenge with us as we think of the importance of guarding our hearts in the context of healthy, pure relationships. I believe guarding your heart this morning also includes avoiding situations that will foster unhealthy emotional bonds, such as time alone with another young man or a woman by yourself. I'm obviously talking about outside of a courting relationship, just where you spend an unnecessary amount of time together. It will foster an emotional bond that, be careful. Girls, beware of putting yourself out there merely because the attention is enjoyable. I think you can relate to that. It feels good to be noticed. Beware about putting yourself out there just to be noticed. I believe that one of God's desires for us is that we would experience emotional purity. And a definition that I ran across for emotional purity that I think is good. Emotional purity is reserving our affections by refusing to give our heart over to someone to whom I'm not married to or committed to be married to. Reserving our affections by refusing to give our heart away to someone. I believe also, moving on as we think one more thought about guarding our heart, remember that our thoughts, your thoughts, my thoughts, are not neutral. It does matter this morning what we spend our time thinking. It makes a difference. And I believe that that's one of the reasons God has given us verses like Philippians 4:8, where He says, "Dear young people, if you need a catalog of direction on what to think, think on things that are true, honest, pure, a good report." You know the verse. Your thoughts and my thoughts are not neutral. They're an integral part of having healthy emotional relationships. This freedom and this joy that we're talking about, the freedom and joy of relationships, I believe this morning can only be sustained by an excellent spirit. Remember back in Daniel, King Darius, he commented in Daniel 6. He saw that in Daniel there was an excellent spirit. What does that mean? Well, for Daniel, it means that the spirit was uppermost. For Daniel, it meant that the spirit was in control. King Darius saw that in Daniel's experience, the spirit was preeminent. It was number one. And isn't it so opposite of what we saw last night in Samson, where the Spirit of God was no longer able to move him like he longed to, because Samson was identifying with all these other desires. It would be my prayer and my heart for you that you would experience the joy and the liberating freedom that comes in allowing God to just give you a pure heart so that you can relate in a pure and healthy way. I'd like to open it up just for a few minutes, and then I'll turn the time back to Gary.